This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
And we'll get back into Pierre LeBrun's article in The Athletic about polling a bunch of executives and coaches and scouts throughout the league on how the Canadian division might shape up. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Bobby Webster will join us here from Tampa in just a moment. There's a lot to get into with Bobby. He's down in Tampa, and he seemed very happy to be down there. Very happy.
Very fired up to be down there, but he should be.
The weather is beautiful down there.
I didn't take offense to that. I didn't take offense to him saying, you know, take a look out the window, and I guess, you know, I understand it's snowing up there. He's not taking a shot at us. He's just saying, hey, I'm in a pretty good situation from a weather scenario right now. That's all.
Right, and he is from Hawaii. So I wonder if he's Hawaiian shirt guy, or is that like a cliche, and if you're from Hawaii, you don't rock
the
Hawaiian
shirt. Do you
actually
think people from Hawaii wear Hawaiian shirts all the time?
I'm not saying all the time, but I'm
that
sure it's...
That would be awesome, though.
Yeah. I hope
like
he's Hawaiian
shirt. Hawaiian shirt with a tie underneath a suit jacket every time.
Outstanding. Only in Tampa, though, right? Yeah. You can't rock that in like December up in Toronto. That's not going to work for anyone. No one wants to see a Hawaiian shirt in December in Toronto.
No, but what's the guy?
Tampa, maybe.
What's the bounty hunter? Is it Dog?
Dog the bounty hunter.
Isn't he out of Hawaii?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he was. Anyway, I don't know if he still is or what's up with the dog.
Yeah, I think his wife passed and stuff. But he
R.I.P.
Yeah, he. I think he wore like the Hawaiian shirts and like he was. He embraced
Dude,
the culture.
That guy's get up. He had cowboy boots on, spandex blue jeans.
He had the most unique look in TV history.
Yes,
bounty hunter.
I feel like he was a trailblazer into
he was.
That. Like into
spandex blue jeans tucked into cowboy boots. A boy's small Hawaiian shirt with the sleeves cut off.
Yeah.
With a braided hair, like the side of his hair
with
was
a braided mullet and a buzz cut on top. It was.
And sunglasses, no matter what.
Always sunglasses.
Always.
Do you think he dyed his hair? He must have been dyeing his hair.
Wow. And the cast of characters he ran with, too. I think his son was one of them. And
he
like
was,
there was.
Yep.
But that was a motley crew. It was. They
what
were
a show
gritty.
That was, though. Remember when that came out?
I actually loved it. I loved it, too.
I couldn't get enough of Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I would get mad, though, because they would like. It's like they lived in a small town and they knew everybody. They're like, hey, we got to go pick up Bob again because he skipped bail. So
right.
Like Bob's at the local bar in a dumpster in the back. They're like, all right, come on, Bob. And then he would put him in the truck and give him a stern talking to.
Right. That was the best when he tried to be a counselor. It's like, dog, look at you right now. Look at you. You're the one that's going to give me life advice on how I
like.
Get out of
I like his first question every time in the truck was, you want a dart, brother? And the guy would be in cuffs, and he would always put the dart into his mouth and light it for him.
Yeah, that's
right. And it would be like the good thing the guy could
he
have.
He did call
him.
Everyone brother. He did have like the Hulk Hogan type of
on. You're going to jail, my brother. You're going to jail.
Yeah. And then he'd start chasing him. He'd be huffing and puffing, saying, You're going, brother. You're going, brother.
Yeah, do not resist. And, that was just a... I mean, that show.
Beth, actually... start the car!
It was such a great show. I need to revisit Dog the Bounty Hunter.
No.
I wonder
way.
If they have pride in that in Hawaii, though. Like, is that I think you should be proud of that show. It's a great production. And let's bring in one of the sons of Hawaii, the GM of the Toronto Raptors, Bobby Webster. How's it going, Bobby?
What's going on? I'm good.
Yeah.
We have a ridiculous question to ask you, Bobby. And Brian Hayes, by the way, it came to his mind, no one else's. He was wondering if dudes from Hawaii, is it like a lock to wear the Hawaiian shirt a lot?
Now that you're in Tampa, are you going to wear – do you wear a Hawaiian shirt down there? Like what's the rule when it comes to people from Hawaii wearing Hawaiian shirts?
You're on it. I was just looking at the local Hawaii website where I'm going to buy a bunch of shirts. That's going to be the fit down
here. No, you're
here,
not.
So.
No, you're
Come
not.
On. I support it. You're down there now. The weather's beautiful. You guys, you were talking about it earlier. Why not? Right? You're relaxed down there.
It's the look. It's the look down here.
I think so.
When in Rome, right?
Absolutely. What about Dog the Bounty Hunter? Because we were talking about I don't know. We were talking about Hawaii and then Hawaiian shirts, and then Dog the Bounty Hunter came up. Have you – I'm sure you've seen the show. Have you ever met Dog the Bounty Hunter? What's your connection to him?
I used to love watching – I mean, it was wild, right? But I used to love watching the show because it was like a trip down memory lane, right? You'd go back and they drive around the island. Obviously, they went to some of the tougher parts of the island. But, no, I used to love to watch it and, you know, text with friends and stuff. But, no, never got the chance to meet him. But I did, you know, you'd see him around town. He'd be on his missions.
What was the outfit like to see live? I mean,
his gear is the best gear of all time.
Yeah, like if one of your players showed up to a game in that Dog the Bounty Hunter gear, like I just can't even imagine.
Are you suggesting that's how I should wear my Hawaiian shirt?
Yes, we need you in the exact same look as Dog the Bounty Hunter. I think that would go a long way for your rep throughout the city and throughout the NBA, for that matter, with Bobby Webster, the GM of the Raptors. Is it a relief to be down there? And, you know, it feels like you're going to – now the camp has started again, and it's only been a couple of months. But what was the reaction to getting down to Tampa and getting set up?
Yeah, it's what you said. You know, business is starting now, and I think as you know, the season will wait for no one, and so we got training camp. We got to get going. It's obviously a bit of a different training camp here with, you know, daily testing and all the different protocols. But, you know, we're here. We're ready to get going. We do have a little bit of a buffer here for a couple of days where we need to hang out. But in a few days here, it'll be, you know, business as usual. Everybody out on the court, 20 guys, you know. Coach will probably have him run some suicides. You know, it'll be business as usual.
Bobby, you just mentioned the testing at the basketball court. What happens, or what are the players told when they go home? Obviously, COVID is a massive story right now. It's basically dominating the sports world. And I'm curious, these guys have families. I don't even know what the living situation is down there. But what are they told once they leave the practice facility as far as what they can do and what they can't when they get home?
Yeah, it's most of what we've all learned, right, is be responsible, wear your mask, social distance. If you are going to go out and eat, do it outdoors, you know, avoid crowded indoor public areas. So that's kind of it. There's also the ability the NBA has made available for family members, you know, people in your household to get tested as well. Because I think, as we've all learned, having, you know, people in close contact with you, it widens your exposure risk as well. So, you know, it's the thoughtful stuff. Just be thoughtful about, I think, spending too much time indoors in crowded areas.
We have Bobby Webster, GM of the Raptors. We have not caught up since the offseason, and it was the most unique offseason in NBA history. It lasted about a week, but it obviously was something that you guys had to take on, and you did. And during the recruiting process, my understanding is, based on the reports, you met with Fred VanVleet down in Illinois. And I thought I read somewhere that you went and flew to see Serge at some point as well. How did that work with COVID in terms of crossing the border, in terms of testing? Have you been home since? Like, what have you been up to over the past couple of weeks? And how was the, you know, 2 or 3 day off season? How did it treat you, and how would you compare it to past years?
Yeah, it was a wild, I don't even know if it was a week. It was probably about 72 hours if we all think back. Yes, we actually snuck in a meeting with Chris Boucher here in Toronto, having the local kid around here. But no, we flew down to Chicago, met with Fred. Obviously, you know, same protocols. We got tested in advance, wore the masks, social distance, all of that good stuff. You know, got Fred done. As I think we've mentioned and you guys have heard it enough here, he was our top priority. So happy to do that, get that one out of the way. Then we went and met with Serge. Obviously, you know, decided to go in our separate directions and thanked him. And he thanked us, as everybody saw, for, you know, an incredible 3.5 years. And then we started to move on and make our decisions from there. So brought in Aaron Baines, who, you know, some people may know from his international play, but, you know, a bit of a journeyman around the NBA who's been part of San Antonio when they won a championship. And I think probably some fans know him from when he was on Boston and we battled with him. But, you know, more than anything, we felt like we reloaded, you know, the majority of the cores in place. Obviously bringing Kyle back is, you know, he'll always be the heartbeat of the team. And then bringing VanVleet, OG, Pascal, Norman, you know, there's there's still a bunch of familiar faces, but we will need to fit in a few new big men.
Well, you mentioned that with yourselves and Serge, you I believe you just said you both decided to go separate ways. I was of the belief that, I mean, Serge basically made that call. Does that mean you guys made a pitch, but there was limitations to it? You know, how did it get to a point where, you know, both parties felt like they were basically mutually agreeing to part ways here?
Yeah, you know, I think we've mentioned a bunch the flexibility for next summer. And obviously having that second year was really important for Serge, as I think, you know, we saw in the deal he signed. So yeah, I think to your point, there's probably a limitation on where we could have gone, especially in regards to the second season.
So with that being said, I mean, I would take that as flexibility in 2021 was a priority, maybe at the cost of this upcoming season. Is that accurate? Would you take issue with that?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to link them, you know, too much together. I think, you know, you also have to be, you know, mindful of where that position is going. And I think it was an incredible luxury that we had to have, you know, Serge and Mark in those roles. And we obviously won a championship, and, you know, we don't even come close to winning it if we don't have both of those guys. So incredibly thankful and respectful of what they've done. But also think, you know, the way the NBA is going and the style of play, always come back to, you know, game 7 against Boston. You know, we played OG and Pascal, the 4 and the 5. So, you know, we're taking into account all of those things. So I wouldn't put it, you know, specifically on the flexibility for next summer. But that was part of it.
With Bobby Webster, GM of the Raptors, we referenced earlier, and we saw this earlier, you know, projections, everyone's going to make their predictions on what's going to happen this upcoming season. Part of ESPN, I think I don't remember which analysis was behind it, whether or not it was, you know, the experts, quote unquote, or whether or not it was analytically driven. But they posted something on Twitter and on their website earlier today that they have you guys finishing second in the East. So obviously ESPN, and based on their numbers being crunched, they don't see a big drop off because that's where you finished last season. We know in this era, you guys have access to a lot of different, you know, analytics, a lot of different data, a lot of different info, and I'm sure you've got a pretty good read on where you think your team should be by the end of the season. How are you guys projecting out now that you've signed who you're going to sign and you have your team intact and you're prepared to start playing in a few weeks?
I don't know. That might be the curse. Usually they have us down around 6, 7, or 8, and we all do. So, you know, we like having our backs against the wall and people counting us out, improving us. But, you know, I think when you think about the team and obviously having Pascal and Kyle be two all-stars and then, you know, two players in Fred and OG who are making the jump, I think there's a large portion of the team that comes back or a large portion of the minutes that come back. So maybe that's what they're looking into. I think the tough part, you know, when projecting is just the fit, right? And so you know the fit with Mark and Serge. It's a little bit uncertain about the fit with Aaron Baines. We do know Chris Boucher and then Alex Len. So there's a bit of that fit that is always going to be unknown. But, you know, we feel like we're bringing the core back.
With Bobby Webster, the elephant in the room is Terrence Davis. And I know you addressed his situation a couple of hours ago where it's out of your hands technically at this point. It's between the NBA and the PA. But we're aware of the arrest in New York, and my understanding is he's down in Tampa. And will he be taking part in camp? Like, what is the plan over the next 2 or 3 days with Terrence and your team?
Yeah, so, you know, when it happened, I spoke to him personally. Masai spoke to him, a number of people on our staff who, you know, deal in that area, whether it's security or, you know, mental health. You know, we've all been in contact. We stayed in contact with him. So I think from that perspective, we're, as I mentioned earlier, with the information we have and we collected, we're comfortable. The NBA is obviously going to do their investigation, and then there's also the criminal case. So we will be respectful of that process, and, you know, we reserve our rights, and there's nothing that's going on now that if new information were to come to light or, you know, we can take, you know, different action. So I don't think that this is a what's the right way? This isn't necessarily a flag in the stand to saying this is what we're saying now and you know, we can't change. I think it's more of a moment in time than anything for, you know, permanent.
Right. So you guys are comfortable having him in camp? in other words, based on your information, based on what you know? I mean, would you have the option to say he can't show up? I mean, that seems to be a gray area based on what I've read and what I've seen. Like, if you didn't want Terrence Davis in Tampa, would you hold the right to be able to do that, or would the NBA say you can't do that?
No, as I understand it, that's the NBA's right, not our right.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see where it goes. And you guys are down in Tampa. You made it. The testing is off and running. You've got to wait a couple of days, but once you get back on the court, it'll feel like normal again. And we were saying this earlier, do us a favor and don't talk too much about the weather down there, because
like how much
it's
you love it.
Just the worst troll job for us up here in Toronto, and it's just not something we need to hear on a daily basis.
So no photos of Hawaiian shirts then.
Yes, please avoid Hawaiian shirts on a beach in Tampa. That would be something we'd greatly appreciate. And we'll leave it there. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you for doing this. All right, there he goes, Bobby Webster. I guess he's not happy with us. Was that an inappropriate way of ending it? Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't.
No, I don't think so. I
think he cut out. He must have cut out.
I don't know. It sounded like it might have been a drop, like, screw you guys. I hope not.
No, I don't think
actually,
so.
Actually, we kind of took a back seat on that one, so that might have been screw you if it was screw anything.
Yeah.
No,
well, who's buying there? Is that JP back there? Do we have the ending of that to see how awkward that was?
That was an awkward ending. Yeah, maybe
silence.
We can revisit the tape. I got to think it was either a mic drop or he thought he was out.
Yeah, I think he thought he was out.
For his sake, anyway, or our sake.
Yeah, I thought he was. I mean, he's such a good guy, and I think he's pretty easy going and talk to and stuff. But the dog, the bounty hunter talk early on was like, I think he was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, you know, maybe he's got no association with dog. Although he said he saw him walking around.
Yeah, like he loved watching the show, texting his buddies. JP, do you have the ending of that interview?
Yes. Please avoid Hawaiian shirts on a beach in Tampa. That would be something we'd greatly appreciate. And we'll leave it there. Thank you, Bobby. See you later. Thank you for doing this. It's still nothing. Even on the way back around, I was like, is this guy still here? Or did he just say, forget this, I'm out of here?
You know what? You know how your drop is case dismissed and you've got to, and we'll leave it there has to be clipped.
And we'll leave it there. That is as
we'll
awkward of a, is he still there? Is he not? Is maybe there was a connection issue, but that would have been just the most coincidental timing.
And we'll leave it there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, listen, we were joking about the weather stuff. I think he picks up on that. I don't think he would have been taking issue with the Terrence Davis questions. I mean, those are legitimate questions that everyone is wanting answers on right
now. For sure.
So, you know, we've got to ask him that. He's not thrown off by that. He knows it's coming. And it, you know, it sounds like it's the NBA's
call. That
would have
been the one, though. He sounded like that might have chapped his ass a little bit.
And we'll leave it there. Well, I think they clearly realize it's a tough situation.
It
right?
is. Where of course it is. Uncomfortable
player,
for everyone.
Yeah, it's exactly. You know, there are other leagues and other teams that go about their business differently and, you know, cut guys immediately regardless of what may have happened. And it would, you know, it sounds like to my ear, I mean, maybe you guys interpreted it differently, that they've spoken to Davis many times and maybe they feel like, well, he's innocent, and if he's innocent, he is innocent until proven guilty. If he is innocent, then there's no reason to cut him and move on from him. But if he's guilty, based on where we sit with society right now and where the Raptors are as advocates and as a very progressive team, I would think they would move on from him.
But I'm like you, Brian. I got from him that they are very, I mean, this is the wrong wording, but they are at least comfortable with what they know behind the scenes. We're not privy to that.
Right.
But he said, I've talked to him several times. I'm sure they've had NBA security talk to the police to get the whole specter, the whole scope of what happened that night. And as they stand, and he said, you know, I'm not going to stick a flag in the ground, but as we stand right now, we're comfortable with where that situation's at. If new information comes out, we reserve the right to make a decision from there. So I took it the same way as you took, Brian, like that he said, hey, you know, right now from the information that we've gathered, he's still a part of this organization because, you know, whether they view it wrong or they view that it was maybe a misunderstanding or whatever. Again, we're not privy to the information.
Mm-hmm. Although that's why I followed up by asking him, like, do you have the right to cut him now anyway?
Right.
And he also said, well, no, my understanding is that's the NBA's call right now. So, you know, I don't know how
downhill.
To interpret that. Yeah, like, is he there because he has to be there? Is he there because they want him to be there? I mean, the first answer would suggest that they've done their due diligence and they're comfortable with having him there.
Right.
But even if they weren't comfortable with him being there, he'd have to be there anyway based on it being in the hands of the NBA.
But I would think that the PA would be involved too. Like, this is
there's
many layers to this before it actually even gets back to the organization, and then the organization has to make a business decision, a personal decision, all of the above.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I know people get frustrated with it because in the society we live in, everyone wants to make that knee-jerk reaction. But, you know, the organizations, they have to go through their due diligence, and you have to do it on both sides too, because if you jump to a conclusion and it's the wrong conclusion, there could be lawsuits coming back at you as well.
Of course. Yeah.
Right?
It's the sports world obviously has changed a lot in the past, you know, decade or so, in terms of punishment, in terms of
right.
the you know, rule of law, courtesy of the commissioner, or whichever way you want to phrase it. But he'll have his day in court, and it's coming up relatively soon. I believe it's December
right.
7th or the 10th, you know, and I would think we'll know more by that point. And at
right.
some point, some sort of a ruling is going to come down courtesy of the NBA in conjunction with the PA. And then we'll see what the Raptors do with Terrence Davis.
Well, there'll be some
more
facts.
As of now, he's still on the team.
There'll be some more facts that come out, too.
Yeah.
That's basically, there's going to be some court documents or something will get leaked, and this is what happened. And then people will make their decisions, and the team can make their decision after that. Like,
yeah.
There's a whole process to go
through.
As
there should
here.
Be. You know, yeah. It's so easy for anyone to just say cut, or do this, do that. Like, why not
right.
just – there's nothing wrong with taking your time to make sure that you get it right and you know all the information.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
And if at that point you deem, okay, this is what happened and he's going to stay, then, okay, you're going to have to explain that, which I
right.
think goes without saying. But if it gets to a point where you say, this is what happened and we can't be associated with him, then you move on and you explain that.
Right.
And I'm sure we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, coming up. Bill Manning will join us from TFC as well. He's going to join us at 6:05 on Greg Vanney stepping down as the head coach of Toronto FC. Try to get you more info on that. We've got a futures bets segment that we might get to at some point later this
nice.
Afternoon. I think we've got
yep.
to squeeze that in. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. And we'll leave it there. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in just a moment. Got a blank chair in the middle, noodles. That means he's cooking something. And
you're eating
or
he's putting eating. A tie on.
Yeah, he could be doing that. He's got maybe he's got that hockey going on tonight. There he is, right in the middle.
There he is.
He's
yep.
late on arrival. Noodles.
It's my fault. I apologize.
What are you making? You're cooking something. You're doing something.
I was warming up Stella's brisket, and I'm late. That's why I apologize because
why can't Stella warm up the brisket? I don't understand.
I went out. What happens is you lose track of time. You guys know this.
Yep.
You get out there, you start grazing, you start talking to people. Steph was like, hey, how are things going? And I'm like, might want to go back and listen to Bobby Webster, see how that went. And we were having some fun. Like,
that
I was
one
just
song.
Like, yeah, but at the end of the day.
You two, here's the reality that I have learned over 8 months of doing shows at home. You guys have full meals during the show. Like, I know when you guys are feeding and – I don't know how you do it. Like I
honestly, buddy, I'll scarf down something in a commercial. I will never. That's it. And it's
well,
early
eat,
and it's done with.
I don't eat while you guys are talking.
I'm not saying while
I
we're on the air,
break.
But like at 5:30, you have like a full plate, like a dinner.
Yeah, and a dinner.
Here's my routine.
Why can't we wait till 7 o'clock? That's what we do usually. I mean,
First off, it's none of your business. I'll be the second guy to tell you off today. Not everyone's. Everyone's got a different program.
Okay, well, I don't like your program.
My plate sits at 5 or 4 o'clock in the microwave. First break, heat it up, bring it back. Second break, it's gone. That's it. That's the end of the eating.
No, I like to do what you got to do, but I like to graze. That's what it is. Like at 4 o'clock, I usually.
But
have
Jamie,
a little...
the question is: the nanny's heating up the brisket. How come? Like, what Steph did? Both of her arms break?
No, she was dealing with the kids. We had kids shoveling the walk. Like, it's just been a. It's been a busy thing going on around here. That's why I came into the office, and I went out and got into a conversation, and then I looked up, and I'm like, I think I'm late, but I grabbed the bowl out of the microwave anyways and made my way in. And as I came in, I could see the Overdrive logo coming up. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm late.
Yeah,
so
it happens.
I apologize. I'll put some money in the fine jar, and we'll move forward. Put it
yes,
that way.
Yes, we will. All right.
And we'll leave
Bill
it
Manning
there.
Coming up in about 35 minutes.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. That's a drop for the rest of time. I'm so curious now to know if Webster just hung up because he was done.
I don't think he has a general interest in, like, not that he dislikes us, but I don't really think that he cares too much. I don't think any of the GMs in Toronto really care about coming on the show. They do it as kind of a... It's a standard thing. It's like a couple times a year you got to do it. And I think Bobby was like, all right, see you later. And there just wasn't really much beating around the bush afterwards, like a little goodbye or whatever. He's like, I'm done with this and goodbye. I don't think you pissed him off.
No, I think he just was making the rounds because he you know, that's what you have to do. But, yeah, I think Kyle Dubas enjoys coming on.
I don't know if anyone
I don't think he does.
Enjoys
it's just
coming
a, just,
on.
Yeah, it's just the thing you got to do. It's like, what? They're busy enough dealing with all kinds of nonsense from all different angles. The last thing they want to do is act like they're interested in our program because they're not.
Well, in this time of year, it's not a difficult interview generally. I mean, I asked a couple of questions that maybe – you know, maybe he didn't like, and that's fine.
Any off-season for any GM is the Coors Light slow pitch.
Exactly. Generally, like, it is. Hey, we're all back together. How's everything going down there? It's not like if you lose, you know, if you win 20 games and your team's terrible, you probably don't want to do that interview. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray always loves doing this show. That's the one guy we can count on. Always happy to be on.
I do, but I'm just thinking of these GMs, and then I'm thinking of Owen Noodles. Like, if you two guys didn't have to come on – with Brian, like, would you be thrilled about it?
why would I be the guy that would be the one that would bother everybody?
Well, see, I think that's what the GMs are really worried about. They're like, yeah, Noodles and O, they played. They're good guys. This Hayes guy, I'm a little nervous about him.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Larry
because we've
King.
We've had, I mean, generally speaking, we have pretty, you know, decent relationships with the members of the sporting community in the city.
Ray, listen to this. This is how the interview ended with Bobby Webster, the Raptors GM, JP.
And we'll leave it there.
No.
Well, it was longer than that, but it was.
You had the whole thing. Yeah, it was like Hayes was talking to the guy, and the guy gave him absolute ninja dust, and it was so awkward. JP, if you have the whole thing, play the whole thing, not just the end.
All right, we'll get back to it. JP's scrambling over there, but we'll have it. Yeah. It was, you know, it was one of those we
but,
asked.
But once you get back on the court,
okay. I don't know what's going on, JP, there, but we'll just hold off, buddy.
Oh,
we'll throw it to him when we're ready to throw it to him.
Well,
now
what's
going to
happen
show.
Here is we're going to. This is like Hayes when my phone has a crappy connection.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, Mount Hayes is going to blow up.
Yeah. Well,
just forget
it.
About it. Just forget about it,
yeah,
JP.
Let's stop throwing things because it's already we're off the rails to begin with. But take our word for it. It got a little bit awkward, and maybe it was just that he had enough. Maybe it was a phone connection issue. Maybe he didn't like my line of questioning or the fact that I said when you're down in Tampa, like, do us a favor and don't talk about how great the weather is on a daily basis, you know, because we're up here in Toronto suffering a snowstorm.
Right.
People just don't want to hear it. I don't think that was unreasonable, but
no,
maybe
it was.
Maybe we'll be blacklisted and he won't be on the show ever again. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll be fine. We'll be
I think
fine.
We'll be all right. I think everything will be all good. Did you see Pierre LeBrun's article in The Athletic polling the different executives and scouts and coaches about the Canadian division? And there was a lot of praise for the Leafs. You know, the Leafs got 9 of the 15 votes for first overall, if that's the way it's going to play out with an all-Canadian division. Mm-hmm. Then beyond that, it was scattered. Ottawa was dead last on all 15 ballots, but there was a lot of variety in terms of the outcome, and I think that probably follows suit with what we're all thinking right now, like a complete crapshoot.
I think Toronto's the best team. I think they're the most dangerous team. I think Montreal had the best offseason. And I think I would have never had Montreal up near the top of the seven teams a year ago, but I do now. I think Calgary can be really good. Markstrom's going to make a big difference there. I have them slightly ahead of Edmonton, and I don't even know that I really like that pick. Winnipeg, I still don't know what they're all going to come together like on the blue line, and you know, can Hellebuck replicate that incredible year that he had? I think Vancouver's in the middle of Calgary, Edmonton, better than Winnipeg, kind of in there, but I didn't love Vancouver's offseason, actually. I think they went backwards. And then you got Ottawa, who are, you know, they're just some time away yet.
Yeah. I to be honest, guys, I had Winnipeg as one because I think they are exactly Toronto with a better goalie. That's, you know, Hellebuck's the arguably the best goalie in the league, and they're both Ds are, you know, kind of, you know, there. And then the forwards are deep, both sides, and it's a crapshoot. Like, Winnipeg has five, like, really good players up top, and I think the Leafs have four.
It's interesting that you say that because, you know, I don't necessarily disagree. I think the Leafs' defense has improved more, and I think Winnipeg's defense still scares me a little bit. And
yeah, you're right.
Hellebuck was so good last year. You know, can he replicate that? If he takes a half step back, I think they could be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But, the you know, who Pierre was pulling, and again, I don't know who these – who it is, coaches, scouts,
right,
management
right.
types, but they a lot of them were not very friendly to Winnipeg, which was surprised by.
Which is weird because, like, I, and this is no slight on Toronto because Toronto should be right at the top, like, right there. I'm just saying, like, when I look at skill, you could argue that the top six for Winnipeg are the deepest in Canada because with the addition of Stastny, and then you've got Connor, Scheifele, Wheeler, Ehlers, and Laine. And then, you know, the defensive core, I like, people don't realize, like, Pionk had 45 points last year. He's a pretty good player. And, you know, you got DeMello, who's like a Muzzin type of player. And then Morrissey would be, you know, a poor version of Riley. I still think they need another guy there, don't get me wrong. But Hellebuck is the tiebreaker for me, where the Leafs were 26th, I think, in the National Hockey League last year in defense. And Hellebuck was the difference maker. You know, I think the Leafs have a little bit more to give, and that's why I want to give them the love and that they'll be there. But I think Winnipeg's right there, too, as far as depth when you're just looking on paper.
See, Noodles, where I don't quite get to the same in the top six is that I don't know what Paul Stastny is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see him as a 70-point guy. I see him more as a 50-point guy.
And that would 2030. Yeah, 2030.
Yeah, something in there. And, you know, Line A will be a wild card. Like, who? I don't really know what to expect from him given.
Who knows,
you know,
where his headspace is at?
That,
right.
That's exactly where I'm going, with all the chat around him.
Mm-hmm.
And is he already thinking of something else? Or is he saying, damn it, I want to be here and I'm going to score the 40 goals at the 40 goal rate that I should? I think Toronto is every bit as good up front. Their top end, I think, you know, I think has the potential to beat Winnipeg's. But at the blue line, I think Toronto's got more options to what Winnipeg would have. Like, even just naming those D, they're all kind of a half a step behind what Toronto has, and that's just three of them there.
Right.
In Winnipeg, and then a whole bunch of question marks and young guys. Like, can Dylan Sandberg make the team and make a difference? Like, they got a lot of question marks on their blue line that drag them down for me.
Yeah, for me, the difference clearly is in net. I mean, Hellebuck is a Vezina winner. He's an outstanding
right, yeah.
talent, and he clearly is a better goaltender than Freddie Anderson. So that if he plays lights out, then anything is possible, but
right.
I agree. I think the Leafs on paper are better than Winnipeg. I think on paper I'd have them as the most talented team in the country, but I probably would have had that last year, and that didn't mean much.
See,
so,
I but that's where I'm like, I think it's a drop off. Like, I know Thornton and Spezza are there, but if this was 10 years ago, it's a lot different. Like, that's where, like, their left side is a giant question mark for me.
Right.
Giant.
But it probably was last year, too. I mean, Janssen, what was, I guess he gave you a little bit more confidence,
you're right,
but not much more.
No, I just, that's why I think they mirror each other a lot. Like, it's you know, Nikolaj Ehlers is exactly the same player as Nylander. Exactly. Like, almost career stats exactly. Like, they're, one was drafted eighth, the other one was drafted ninth. They're both really high risk. Like, you know, you want more out of them, but they kind of get the same amount of points. Line A is the wild card for me. You know, Scheifele's a great player. Wheeler's a great player. Kyle Connor's a 40-goal scorer plus. Like, they're deep. Like, I don't think
Connor's
people realize
really
how,
good.
I don't think people realize how deep they are.
I did 10 other games last year, Noodles. You know, so you know how it is. You're sitting there and you're watching them live, and I'm like, damn, Kyle Connor is really good. Yeah. It was the 18th pick in his draft year, and he does everything for them. Kills penalties, plays on their top line, plays on their power play. Like, he is good. He's a really good player.
But that being said, like, I can certainly see the argument for the Leafs, but then I could see the argument for Calgary with Markstrom. Like, you know, this guy stole games last year in Vancouver. He's going to probably do that in Calgary, so that's going to get them 3 or 4 or 5 extra wins. Edmonton, you don't think McDavid's going to be fired up? Like, Hayes, you've said that.
He will. I think he's probably going to win the Hart, but I do, I guess, reading through everything that Pierre posted up on The Athletic, just based on, you know, canvassing other opinions throughout the league, I found myself agreeing on a lot of the different comments that I thought Vancouver did take a step back. They had a bad offseason, you know, to just be blunt. They had a bad offseason, and Edmonton just kind of stayed the same. You know, like, especially
Edmonton's
in net.
Edmonton's 1 year away from being able to make significant change.
Right.
Like, in their cap spot. They're trying to shuffle deck chairs around and, you know, and squeeze a little bit of lemon out offensively for another year. And then if they can, you know, if they get to next summer or whatever the off season's going to be, then they're probably in a better position to make some significant changes.
Go ahead, O.
I find it crazy through all this talk about the Canadian teams how a team with the best player in the world and basically a guy who's might be the third best player in the world, just they're not picked to do anything. It's crazy. I find it crazy. It's like they're not there's zero expectations from a team with two of the best players in the world on it. Where usually it's like cup or bust.
But I think that I think they're better than people are going to give them credit for because everyone's
looking
at
how many more years are we going to keep saying that, Jamie? It's like, oh, they're going to they got McDavid, they got Draisaitl, they're going to it's the same thing. It's like, okay, they got those guys, but they ultimately one of them wins a Hart trophy, but they don't do anything.
But what I'm saying is people are pointing to Mike Smith. Mike Smith will be your backup. Koskinen will be their guy, who statistically was a top 10 goaltender last year. So what I was going to say is the shortened season I think will benefit them because they don't have to play Mike Smith a bunch of games. So
but
that's where
their weak spots to jump on that Noodles. Their weak spots won't get exposed, not just in goal, but they won't get exposed as much in a shorter year.
Right.
That's probably is to their benefit.
And Ray, we brought up last hour and guys, you chime in. Like, Ottawa is going to be a tough out. Like, they're going to steal points off of teams because of a shortened season. You know, it Edmonton goes in there for 3 nights. Like, they're going to lose a game or maybe two.
Are you a Matt Murray guy?
Not yet.
I'm iffy still.
I'm not yet because I've said this before. He still has to learn to be an everyday starter in the regular season. He's proven. He's got 2 cups. But he also had a safety blanket on the bench in Marc-Andre Fleury. Fleury's not there anymore. You've got a lot different team in Ottawa, but he's only 26 years old. That's the difference. And Ottawa got better. I still think it's a cut above. I think Toronto is a really good team. I think Winnipeg doesn't get enough credit. That's why I think Winnipeg out west is the mirrors Toronto. And I think Edmonton, you know, with the tourists and Puljujärvi, and I know Barry's not loved around here, but like, I think Barry's going to help them. He may find a better fit in Edmonton than he did in Toronto. Like, I don't think
it can't get worse.
Be,
I mean, exactly. Better for his case. We've all been in agreement for a couple of months here. Ottawa is seventh.
Yeah.
But beyond that, but at some point, there's going to be two teams that missed that didn't want to, so
yeah.
Or didn't think they were going to, and it's going to happen. So, you know, at this point, we're just making projections, and at some point, hopefully, they're going to play, and they will determine this on the ice. But I am having a difficult time figuring out which two teams I think are going to miss. It's interesting when you consider where we were 2 months ago, when we were still in the bubble or coming out of the bubble, and it seemed like a majority of people in the country thought Vancouver was the best team. You know, because they went the deepest and they had a good run, and they did. But as of now, I'm not sure Vancouver makes it. Like, if it's an all-Canadian division, I'm not sure they are in the top four based on their offseason.
I don't see it. I mean, they've got a lot of things that have to go right for them. They don't, you know, by losing Toffoli, they don't really have a top six. It looks like Jake Virtanen's going to get that first opportunity with Pettersson. You know, they have to hope for a rebound for Besser. You know, JT Miller had by miles his best season.
Yeah.
Like, he was a horse for them last year. And is Tanner Pearson a top six guy, or is he more of a third line guy? And so all of a sudden you go, maybe they just were the benefit of brilliant goaltending and a really fine stretch of play for that run in the playoffs, but can they do that over an expanded period of time? Thatcher Demko is not going to stop the puck 96% of the time.
No.
Not going to happen. And that's one of their key factors when they were winning in the playoffs was it was Markstrom till he got hurt, and then Demko was just fabulous. You're not getting that goaltending all the time. It just doesn't, the numbers aren't there.
Yep, exactly. And
yeah.
I hope it's a close race for all these teams. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, three teams, if you include Ottawa, if we all believe that that's going to be the case,
right.
Three of them are likely on the outside looking in. And if it's the top four, one plays four, two plays three, the beauty of it is we're going to have two all-Canadian matchups for playoff rounds. And there's a lot of possibilities there in terms
awesome.
Of maybe the Leafs playing the Habs, maybe Calgary playing Edmonton. It could be outstanding. We'll leave it there, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in person or online at MapleToyota.com. Make the switch. Drive a hybrid.
I think you just said we'll leave it there, pal.
That's my go-to now. I'm going to do it with Bill Manning, and I'm going to do it to everybody. I have to. We'll leave it there. What would be great is if Bill Manning just said, you know, I'm not going to give you a goodbye.
Okay. Well, you're going to get up in his grill, too.
No, I wasn't in Bobby Webster's grill.
Dude, none of us were. We were literally, that was the Coors Light summer slow pitch tournament.
Like, I asked him about the Ibaka stuff, which I think was a reasonable, like, what happened here? Was it really mutual, or was it that, you know, you guys were looking towards 2021?
He wanted the second year. Very simple.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, and they didn't want to give it to him. That's what we were trying to get to the bottom of. And then Terrence Davis is something that everyone wants to know about. You know, what's going on there? And then we were joking around about the weather down in Tampa, and maybe he didn't want to hear that either.
We'll leave it there.
We'll leave it there. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. TFC, the president of Toronto FC, on Greg Vanney stepping down as the head coach earlier today. They're into their off season. We'll see what Bill can tell us about that. Into a number of things with him. He's a great guy to catch up with, so he'll join us in about 10 minutes. And we got a futures segment we got to get to. It's December 1st, man. We can see the finish line of 2020, thankfully, end this gutless year. We're done with it. I've had enough. We'll leave it there. We'll get to it in the next hour. Overdrive continues. Final hour coming up, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson. You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA license 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.